Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains." Then Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." Today I want to begin a series of messages based on this Old Testament lesson we heard today, the second book of Samuel, chapter 7. 2 Samuel, chapter 7. We're going to do a multi-part study of God's covenant with David. Have you ever noticed that when somebody's doing a PowerPoint presentation and they want to switch the slide, they point at the wall and click, but the thing's actually over there. So why? But that's just, you know, I love observing, you know, idiosyncrasies of humanity. And that be one. So, and if I have any idiosyncrasies, I suppose that's the one, huh? That'd be it. We're going to do a multi-part study of God's covenant with David and how this covenant and David's revelation and Nathan's prophecy relate to us today. I want to start off by saying that these messages and these presentations are going to be on our website. And eventually we'll turn them into probably a two-disc set of CDs. This is this important. I want everyone to hear this message. And even with a holiday weekend and a lot of people off doing other things today, I want everyone to listen to this. So I'm going to be encouraging people that aren't here and all of you here today to listen to this again. This series is really directed toward the membership of Bread of Life, those that call this parish their Christian home in the kingdom. Those of you that are visiting and that are not members of Bread of Life, you get to listen too. And I guarantee you, because this series is based solely in God's Word and in this covenant relationship, that you will be blessed no matter what. I guarantee it. God is going to bless us in this. We're going to discuss three major themes. The first, that we are in God's house. We talk a lot about, you know, this being our church, and we welcome people and we say, "This is your church now," but the reality is it's not. It's not yours and it's not mine. We are in God's house. The other major theme is that David realizes God has blessed him. David realized God blessed him. That first couple of verses, David the king was dwelling in his house. The Lord had given him rest from all his enemies. The Lord is protecting David. The Lord has given David a time of peace and rest. And David realizes that. And then David realizes that he has not himself been blessing God. God's been blessing him, but he's not been blessing God. He says to Nathan, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains." He says, "I have been blessed, but I have not been honoring God according to the blessings that He's given me." In other words, David says, "I live in a pretty nice place, and yet the ark of God is outside in a tent." And he realizes there's something wrong with that. David is, in a sense, saying that if anything, God's house should be as nice as my house, and actually, God's house should probably be nicer than the house in which I live. And that brings us to what we're going to talk about using 2 Samuel over the next several weeks. We have issues before us here at Bread of Life. Some of them more pressing than others. And I want us, using David's realization that he has been blessed and that he needs to honor that blessing, I want us to start thinking along the same lines. How can we live in a house of cedar the nicest thing you could have at that time. How could we live in our homes and yet not have God's house be at least as nice? So here are the issues that we're going to talk about practically as we reflect on this sermon. We're going to talk about the fact that this building needs a roof. There are other things we could do around here and fix up. You know, it's an old building. It's been here a very long time. And if you go and walk around and look up, actually, if you look down, you'll see a lot of the roof on the lawn. If you look up, you'll see that the building needs a roof. So we're going to discuss that immediate need. We're also going to talk about how to best use our resources. Our resources including, you know, our facility here, the money that comes in, our stewardship of what's been given to us. So I want to give you a little background history as to what's going on, what's been done so far. We've had many discussions over a long time among the clergy council and the parish council. We've been talking about this for a long time. Some of you were here 5 years ago when we actually went and looked at a church up on the hill in Pewaukee. We've been asking God for quite a long time what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to move forward as Bread of Life. We've had preliminary talks with banks about repair loans, and some of the banks we've talked to couldn't get us out the door fast enough. We've actually had a very favorable talk with a bank recently that might loan us money to fix the roof. We have investigated potential new properties, about 9 different locations over the last few years. We have looked at to see, would we be better off as Bread of Life if we were someplace else? Could we serve more people? Could we have greater visibility? Would we do a better ministry if we took this church and moved it someplace where there's more people? And then the other thing that's been going on is that we've had preliminary appraisals of our church and land here to see what those resources are. What are our options? What would somebody realistically pay for this piece of property? One of the things that we'll give you over time are numbers. We can tell you what those appraisals are. We had roof quotes in the past, and we have to get those updated anywhere from $22,000 to $60,000 to fix the roof. And we're going to lay all of that out. And we're going to do it through 2 Samuel 7 through 17, that Old Testament lesson we heard today. And what we find in 2 Samuel is all of this. We find lessons about leadership, lessons about obedience, kingdom growth, sin and repentance, forgiveness and blessing, covenant and promise. All of that in those 17 verses. This is what our discernment process will look like. It is going to be prayerful. We have it written on our wall here that we are a house of prayer for all nations. And that is first and foremost what we want to be at Bread of Life. We want to be people of prayer. And this will be a prayerful discernment process so that God can speak to us and that we can hear His voice clearly. This will be a Holy Spirit consensus process through the councils of the church. Now, one of the reasons why we're doing this in this series of sermons based on 2 Samuel is that this, you know, particular discernment process certainly affects everyone, but perhaps even in a greater way than other things that may or may not go on in the church. I want you to be in prayer about this so that over time your voice can be heard, and that God can speak to all of us as we move forward. The Holy Spirit consensus works through the parish council. The parish council takes issues of programming, administration, the different things that go on, and we talk about and pray about all of these things and try to hear God's voice be led, directed, and guided by Him in every aspect of parish life here. It's the council that has gone out and got the roof quotes, for example. The council that has, in one way or another, been looking and investigating perhaps different properties. It's the council that got kicked out of a couple of different banks trying to borrow money with our, you know, puny little numbers. And then Holy Spirit consensus through the clergy of the church, through the clergy council and in consultation with the bishop. I talk with the bishop quite regularly, and he knows everything that's going on here. And the way it works, you will have the opportunity to share from your prayer life what God may be saying to you. The parish council will continue to take these matters up and pray about them and be in discussion about all of these things. It's the responsibility, however, of the clergy council and the bishop to make the decisions as to how we move forward and what actually happens. And that responsibility falls to me as the vicar, the bishop's representative, and ultimately with the bishop's approval for what we do and how we move forward. So while your voice may be heard, this isn't the congregational church. It's not that everyone has a vote. But we want to hear from your prayer life. The parish council, by our canons, is an advisory group to the rector's council. And using the wisdom of those people involved and their expertise in the various areas in which they serve, the clergy council takes these matters up, and we strive to hear from God, and knowing that the bishop, as the clergy of the church, the bishop is our pastor. And all of us together will strive for the consensus of Holy Spirit government. The Holy Spirit consensus is not a majority. It's not a vote. It's nothing like that. It is the Spirit of God speaking to us so that we know clearly what God wants us to do, where He wants us to go, how He wants us to serve. That doesn't mean that everybody is unanimous in thought about what we should do, but it means that we agree that it is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. So while we may want to do one thing or another, and it will be my personal preference to do one thing or another, that doesn't mean that if we decide we're moving in a direction that wasn't my choice, that somehow that's wrong. We have to strive to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to this place and to us as Bread of Life. So how do you participate in it? Three major steps there. We need the commitment of everyone who calls this place their home, their parish. We need their commitment to these three things. First of all, if it's at all possible, you need to be here with us. Your voice cannot be heard if you're not here. Now, that doesn't mean don't go on vacation. It doesn't mean don't visit your family. You know, those kinds of things. But if it's at all possible, we need the commitment of our membership to be with us at worship on Sundays as we discern this. because over time you will have the opportunity. We'll have some open forums and discussions as we go through these things. But I tell you what, I'm not going to ask for that now, because several people have been in prayer about this for a long time. Others of you are hearing this now for the first time. And quite honestly, I'm not interested in your opinion. Not interested in my opinion. I'm very interested in how the Holy Spirit speaks to us and what God is saying to us through prayerful discernment. That's what we want to hear. Because my opinion is useless. As is yours. Don't be offended. But when we share from our prayer life and from what God is speaking to us, that's what we all need to hear. So it's going to be a few weeks before we even begin to have those discussions, because I want everybody praying about this. But you need to be here if at all possible. There's huge strength in numbers. Huge strength in numbers. There's an energy in numbers. Think about it. Imagine 40, 50 people here all singing these songs and blowing the roof off this place, as opposed to 15, 20. And we've had Sundays like that, and you never know. I mean, especially in the winter, sometimes it gets like that. It's going to happen, so we can't beat each other up about that. But if we make the commitment to be here, then we're going to hear from God together. And there's an energy and a strength in that. So the first commitment I'm asking for is your attendance and your participation. The second is, all of us are going to be asked to truly evaluate our financial support of this place. Are we honoring God in accordance with the blessings that He's given us? Think back to what David said. Says to Nathan, you know, I'm here, I'm blessed. We've got this wonderful time of peace. We went through some pretty rough times, but now things have settled down. And here I sit in this beautiful house of cedar, and God's house is out there in a tent. David realized he wasn't honoring God to the degree that God had blessed him. And all of us will be asked to examine and review what we do with our finances. Scripture calls us to give the first fruits of our labors to God, the first 10%. And, you know, it's between you and God. God, what can I do? How can I honor you? And are you truly giving back to God in thanks and honoring Him for the blessings He's given you? Or as you know, some say, are we just kind of giving God a tip on Sunday? Think about that. And then the third thing I'm going to ask everyone to do is to capture and embrace a vision for the future as Bread of Life Church. Whatever that vision is, wherever God calls us to be, to get excited about this ministry, to be so energized by this place that you don't ever have to hear a message like this again, that just the first thing on your mind is getting up and getting to church. Man, I have to be there. That's what we want Bread of Life to be. We hear so many good things about Bread of Life. We hear so many good things from the people that visit us, especially the guys that come in from Milwaukee, how peaceful it is here, the ministry that's done, how welcoming people are. You know, you've heard it over and over again over the years. We're the best kept secret around. We're going to try to get this word out better. And there's no better way to get the word out than to have a vision and a ministry that is thriving. But I got to tell you, people have driven by here. Blatantly honest with you. People have driven by here and looked at this building and thought, nobody cares about that place. They look at the condition of the roof, You know, we're doing so much better with the lawn, especially over the last couple of years. And actually, you know, haven't heard that comment for a while, I should say that. But, you know, there were times in the past, and there were times when, you know, people would, you know, especially when, well, you know, we won't go into all the details, but we had issues with the lawn a while back. You know, we were contracting with someone to do that, and it was kind of hit and miss. And we were, you know, quite honestly, and it's, I think, the fault of the clergy. We all fall into this, but we were kind of too nice with the person that we were paying to do it because we're a church and we probably shouldn't have been so nice. You know, but there are other things. And so we're trying to address all of that. And you know what? We're going to make mistakes and there's going to be problems and there's going to be issues. But if we embrace all of this, God is going to bless us. That's our bottom line. So we have a process that we're going to embrace at this place. And through these lessons, through the voice of David and through the voice of Nathan the prophet, we're going to discern what God wants for Bread of Life. And we're going to embrace again those lessons of leadership, obedience, kingdom growth, sin and repentance, forgiveness and blessing, but above all, the covenant and the promises that God gives to us, because our God keeps His word. God is a God of covenant and promise. Nathan says to David at the end of that passage, "Your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." God will never leave us nor forsake us. And He has blessings that we can't even imagine in our future. So I invite all of you to this time of prayer and discernment, that God would speak to us, lead, direct, and guide through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in His holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.